What I want to do now is tell you about some of the progress we've been making during the review of this case. And I'll start off with the work we carried out at the back end of the summer in relation to the forensic assessment of Claudia's house. That was productive. As a result of the new techniques that we used, we have raised a number of fingerprints within that house. And that tells me that there are still people who are yet to come forward who have been inside that house, either before, during, or after her disappearance. The elimination process is quite simple. I'd ask those people to come forward. You could be a tradesperson, you could be a friend, you could even be an occupier of the house previously, or an associate of that occupier. But please come forward so we can eliminate you from that. We've also brought in a number of experts from the National Crime Agency. A scene assessment has been carried out. And as a result of what presents to us factually, we favour the theory that Claudia probably left the house that morning. The reason I say that is because there was nothing untoward or out of the ordinary. The bed was made. There were dirty pots in the sink downstairs. There was a toothbrush, an electric one, next to that. So it all looked as if Claudia had left the house that morning. But of course, without an obvious scene, without knowing where Claudia has gone, we can't eliminate that she may have gone somewhere else before leaving for work that morning. So we keep our options alive. The hair straighteners are missing. The hair straighteners were purchased by Claudia in May 2007. They are a model which are GHD, described as a 14.4.1B model of hair straightener. I want to know where those hair straighteners are and why she would have taken them that morning if indeed she did leave for work. So please, anybody who knows where those hair straighteners are, did she leave them at a friend's house? We need to find out what happened to those hair straighteners. You'll also see from some of the stuff that I've released that there is a quantity of blonde hair dye within the house. We know that she was naturally, prior to disappearance, of a brown colour. But she did lighten the hair. And what I want to know is that quantity of hair dye significant in that was she planning to go more blonde, or was she in fact colouring anybody else's hair? Which is why I put that information out around the hair dye. I move on to now Claudia's vehicle. You'll know that was off the road at the time of her disappearance. There is a cigarette within the ashtray of that car that we have DNA material that indicates it belongs to a male. It's an Embassy Regal type cigarette. We know Claudia was comfortable with people smoking in her presence, including the house and in the car, but we've still not identified that person to that cigarette. Again, the elimination process is quite simple. If you've been in the car with Claudia, you've smoked, please come forward, we can eliminate you. Or if anybody knows who's been in that car smoking, please tell us the name. I want to tell you now about Claudia's phone. You'll know that we've previously said that the phone appeared to have left the network on the afternoon of Thursday the 19th of March 2009. Now we know from the work we've been doing on Claudia's phone that she intensively used that phone. When she was at work, she would use it during a break time, she would use it to call people on her way home. So it is unnatural for it to have powered down naturally. By that I mean battery has gone down. We did find the battery charger in a bedroom. The phone itself, from the billing work that we've been reassessing, we believe Claudia's been using more frequently up to a disappearance in the Acombe area of York. What I'd like to know is, during those weeks leading up to a disappearance, where has she been going in Acombe? Who has she been associating with? If you're that person and you've yet to come forward, if it's a sensitive reason, we can deal with that appropriately with trained staff. But please come forward and identify yourself. Or if anybody has any names of people who they believe Claudia was associating with in Acombe, please come forward. But that is an active line of inquiry for us. I want to come now on to the sightings that are still significant in this case. The two previous sightings are still relevant, and that is the one at 5:35 a.m. on Thursday the 19th of March 2009 on Melrose Gate near the electricity plant, where a witness describes the left-handed smoker. I'm sure you'll know all about that, but just to repeat the facts, the witness describes a female and a male talking, and the male was smoking with his left hand. That male was described as skinny, 5'5" to 5'6", wearing a dark hoodie and combat trousers. The female was described as being shorter, with mousy brown hair, wearing a dark blue jacket which was waist length. We need those people to come forward. We need names of who they were so we can eliminate them from this inquiry. That time, 5:35 a.m, would have been about the time, if Claudia had walked to work, that she would have been passing that location. The other sighting, which still remains relevant, is a sighting a bit later, sometime between 6:05 and 6:15 a.m. Now, Claudia would be at work normally by 6. However, this witness describes a couple having an animated argument on the university road just outside the university, and they were near a parked car, and I can't give you any more details of that car, but the door was wide open, of the passenger door. And again, the reason why I still think that's significant and we need an explanation for it is the male arguing with the female was wearing a dark coloured hoodie. So those two incidents at 5:35 on Melrose Gate and the later one at University Road connected. And the quicker we eliminate those two incidents, the more progress we can make doing this review. I also want to tell you now about a male who on the morning of April the 1st, 2009, walked into the co-op on Tang Hall. You've got the CCTV stills. But he's described as a black African man in his late 20s, slim build, 5'8". He was wearing distinctive clothing, particularly his baseball cap, which had a dark coloured peak. It was light overall in colour, with a NASA, N-A-S-A, motif on the front. And he also had a zipped-up cardigan, which had a logo, Beverly Hills Polo, on the front. Now, the reason why that man's of interest to me is because he's made comments that he previously knew Claudia through working at the university, and he didn't realise she'd been missing. I'd like that man to come forward so we can eliminate him and speak to him about the relevance of that sighting. Tomorrow evening, obviously, I'll be using the national platform of Crime Watch to repeat some of these appeals. Crime Stoppers have been very, very supportive as ever, and I've repeated the £10,000 reward for any information that leads to the arrest and conviction of the person responsible. And we will be launching tomorrow night a brand new microsite, which will contain all the previous appeal points and the new appeal points, together with the background of the case and the timeline. I'm really, really impressed with that microsite. It gives us an opportunity to put that information out, people in their own time can go onto it, they can look at it in their own time, they can spend as much time as they want looking at the information and the images. It's vital then that they ring us back with anything that they consider of relevance or significance, so we can resolve this case for the satisfaction of Peter, Joan and Ali, and of course of close friends and associates.